Book of Revelation, chapter 5, first four verses. Who is worthy? He said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." This is certainly not the same book, but the principle's the same. We've got a Bible. God's left us a Bible. He's left us a record of His Word. And it's written throughout. And I'd wonder if you've considered this book and who is worthy to open this book. Do you know not everyone's worthy to open this book, you see? I heard Brother James say one time that a Bible is useless to a lost man. Useless. I expect that's so. What would a lost man ever have need for a Bible, for the Word of God, you see? Without the Spirit, it's just a book like it would be a book like any other book. To a lost man or a man that didn't have the proper spirit, it would simply be printed ink upon paper, just like any other book on the shelf. But God's given those that are His a spirit that brings this book to life, you see. And anybody that truly reads this book and they know that they've read it for any length of time, I can speak first-hand experience. There's times when this book, it's alive. It's more alive than most of the people I know, and it lives and it breathes. And then there's other times I open it, and I'm sure of my own fault, it's just words on a piece of paper. And it's not alive. The Bible, I believe, as the so-called churches, not the church, but so, they're going away. Did you know that? They're going away. People don't want, I can't tell you the last time I gave away a Bible. And that's part of our ministry. We still got a couple cases of Bibles. And they're going away. Who do you know outside perhaps our body that reads a Bible? I mean, reads the Bible. Not every once in a while goes and looks up a verse or tries to be smart, but reads the Bible. Name a relative or a friend who reads the Bible. They don't go to church. And the ones that do go to church, they don't read the Bible. Who even carries a Bible? I have a Bible with me at all times. Who carries a Bible? It's necessary equipment for a child of God, is it not? Who's even read the entire Bible? How many people you know have read the Bible from cover to cover? Just one time. I'm asking who's worthy to open the book. I see many who merely claim that it's... they hold this phone up. Well, I've got the whole Bible right here. So they think they're holy because you can pull up the Bible on a piece of plastic? That's not the Bible. It's just words on a piece of plastic. You know, God even wrote, when He came to bring His Word to Moses, he wrote on stone with His own finger. He etched it in stones with His own finger. I recently spoke at a commissioner's court here in favor of trying to get paper ballots reinstated to hibernate the electronic voting machines and save the security of our electoral system. And I cited there was a copy. I noticed before I got up there was a copy of the Declaration of Independence on the wall. And I wondered, what would we have today if they said, oh, I've got it on my phone? I doubt we'd have it. If they hadn't had pen and paper and actually written the thing down, you see. And thus, this book, it's a book. It's preserved. It's been tried in the fire. Men have been burned, martyred. Now, I don't know about this, how preserved this is. This seems, this cell phone, they seem pseudo to me. What you might say, counterfeit. I think some of you heard me say, I recently heard, and this is an amazing thing, and it's really true, that if we were to lose electricity, that within 30 days, we'd be back in the dark ages. Now look where we are right now, and we've got air conditioning running, and we're recording, and we've got a man on the phone from California. We'd be in the dark ages. And within a year, we'd be in the Stone Age. Have you ever considered, I thought about the covenants of God. God made covenants. And he didn't make them on phones and computers. They were real events. Even before the law and the Ten Commandments, he made covenants. With Abraham, at one time, he had him split animal carcasses, and it says that there was a smoking furnace and lamps, and they passed between them, and it was a covenant with God. It was a ceremony. It was a real life thing. That's why we're all sitting here. And Jeff, he misses out on that because he's over there on a piece of plastic. It's hard to get the covenant when you're over there on a piece of plastic. You see. How about the covenant of circumcision? Or even the sacrifice of his own son Isaac. These were literal, real events in time. And I say this because there were no phones. And there were no computers or what you might call virtualities involved. It was all reality. And we've gotten away from reality. A friend of mine yesterday, they headed up to Houston today because there's a Dr. Seuss, I think, virtual museum or something. Wanted to take the kids. That's not reality. And today we live in this so-called virtual world and nobody seems to actually do anything. Including read this book. See, you got to really read this book. You got to take this book out. You got to open it up. And you got to use your mind. You have to use your mind to read this book. I heard one time a preacher, and he talked about, said, we, you know, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. But what about mental exercise? One of the reasons I work a crossword puzzle. I mean, I hated school, but I've got to keep my mind. If you lose your mind, listen, you lose God. You say, was God in your mind? Well, yeah, he is. And without that cognizance, men have lost their wives, and women have lost their husbands, and the man or the woman walks in the nursing home where they put the dementias, and they go back and they don't know who they are, and they live with them for 50 years, and they've lost their mind, they've lost their husband, and you could lose God, And I believe that's what happens when God turns a man to a reprobate mind, you see. And so we have this virtual world. But the Bible's not virtual. And all this has led man not closer, but farther from God. It hadn't led man closer to peace. It hadn't led man closer to anything. You see? And so what's happened is, in a sense, it's like God has become virtual. As if, now listen, He didn't come in the flesh. If you turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that doesn't seem so important until you put it in the context of what we're speaking. He came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. But that spirit of Antichrist, that virtual spirit, is all around us. You think hard about that. You see, the reality that is God, these men of the Bible, the ark. He built that ark. Would it take him 100 years? 120 years? Over 100 years. And he built that ark. He had to go get the lumber. You can turn it on the TV and they'll show the little animation. But it doesn't show what it was like to build that ark. You see. The Exodus, those kingdoms and wars, you see. And we're doing that in the secular, we're erasing history. That's an awful thing. You got to think about that. Because the Lord is history. His coming in the flesh. All of the things in this book. Genesis, the garden, the fall. It's history. And if you could think of a world without history. If there was a world. If we had a world without history. We'd have no common ground on which to build. Or act. Or interface. That would be an awful thing. It would be anarchy everywhere. There'd be no law. Because law is history. We have a history of law. We have a common law and a history of it. There'd be no race. Do you think? No law, no gender, no right, no wrong. Gee, that sounds like the left. They're getting rid of you have to get rid of history. You have to. Because Christ came in the flesh. We'd laugh, but it's not funny. We're heading that way. In this Bible, it's all about remembrance. I actually, I didn't look it up because I didn't want to spend all morning in my Strong's Concordance, not on some computer or tablet. But all through the Bible, more times than I know, it said, God remembered. What did he remember? History. God remembered. He remembered something that had already occurred. and how often he reminds us to remember. Remember what? Take that away and what do you have? Anarchy. Peter said, we're always to be put in remembrance. What are we to remember? History. History. I was thinking this morning, I there's not a day goes by I don't think about my history, and I see my dad or I see my granddad, and I this history. But you see, now we live in this misinformation age where even the present, not history, right now is misrepresented. It's chaos. It's confusion. And this all equals a lie and the father of lies. Yea, hath God said, you see. Remember. But God opens the eyes of all. Or else they believe what? A lie. Who's worthy to open the book? I believed it in the 60s, peace and love. I didn't go to church. I believed a lie. There will be no peace ever till the Lord gets back. And love has two versions. So once man knew good and evil, history changed. I've always thought about that verse. You see, they were already naked. I've preached on this many times. But it says, they knew they were naked. Well, how'd they know? You see, their eyes were open. It wasn't the fact that they were naked. They were already naked. But now they knew they were naked. And there's some thought required here. You see? And I don't know that you can receive this. I know there's male and female, black and white, Greek and Jew. But in Christ, there's not, you see. But that in no way allows me to now be naked again. Do you understand? I hope you can get that. Now, who's worthy to open the book? You know me, and I mean no pride when I say, who's even worthy to hear these words? The words that I'm speaking right now, the Word of God. Who's even worthy to hear that? Who's worthy to hear of the War of Independence? Who's worthy to hear about slavery in the Civil War? Who's worthy? Who's worthy to hear that? Because, see, now thought comes in and we have history. And we hear it and we either believe it or we don't, you see. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Verse 11. And Jesus had been speaking to these masses, and they asked him about why he spoke to them in parables. And in verse 11, Matthew 13, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But look, but to them it is not given. When I think of history, I think of the record of Mordecai. You remember? Esther's, I don't know if it was her cousin or uncle, but either way. And he saved the king. and how he saved the king, and a record was made of that thing. Somebody wrote it down. And if we hadn't had that record, we'd have quite a different story concerning the book of Esther, that it was written down. Well, this is my record, and my tried and true record. This Bible. And the thing about the Bible that's so amazing to me, unlike the way that men write today, you might say God put the good, bad, and the ugly in there. Even David, a man after his own heart, he put the bad in there about David. They wouldn't do that today. But God put the whole record in there. The whole record. They did good in that they did this, and they did bad in that they did this. He put the whole record. Well, because God is truth, you see. God's truth. It's all here. But who's worthy to open it? I bet your folks don't open it. Any of you? Sorry, all my folks are dead. I bet your folks don't open it. Your aunts, your uncles, cousins, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, they don't open it. Who's worthy to open it? You see? There is only one who is the way and the truth and the life. I've only got one true account. I've got some wonderful books in my house. But only one is 100% true. And no man comes to this truth but by Him. He is history. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the present. He's the past, and He's our future, if so be we're going to spend eternity with Him. You know, today we fulfill, we'll end here, Romans chapter 1. You know, there's a verse that said they call good bad and bad good, you remember? And when you look at Romans chapter 1, that is just, if you want to know who we are today, Romans chapter 1 is who we are. In verse 25, he said, look at it. Do you see? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And they have. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever and ever. Amen. And they do, right here, this little phone and these computers and in everything we do. And today we only serve the creature. And who can say we haven't turned the truth into a lie? God help us. And so, when I read that in Revelation, who's worthy? I can see that right here on earth. Who's worthy to open the book? This book. Electricity goes out. I have this book. Everybody dies around me. I have this book. But who's worthy to open it?